it.
Yeah.
Well, we do want to thank you guys for all the prayers. We felt very, very blessed and fortunate to be able to go. Terry and I have been thinking about, we talked about over the years, just when we kind of dream or something about, we love speaking together, we've done a couple retreats, and we said, oh, it'd be fun to do more retreats together. And then we said, and it would be fun to go back to India, not ever thinking that God was going to combine those two dreams together. No, Pastor Adrian, I hope you do. He has spoken here. He's going to be here in the fall. I would just say, if you've not heard Pastor Adrian speak, do not miss him. I just think he's one of the best speakers. Anyway, so my husband and I have been to Sri Lanka a few times because my husband is a great pastor's getting counseling skills. So Pastor Adrian's at our house. He goes, why don't you and Terry can teach at a women's conference?
Do I need this?
Yes. At a women's conference in Cambodia.
Well, we thought, maybe the Holy Spirit's already prepared us for this. So we were so excited. We got ready, and it was a pastor's conference and then a women's conference that was connected to it. And the pastor's conference, let's see, first, I want to show you where Cambodia is. Because Pastor Adrian is from Sri Lanka. So of course I said, why not Sri Lanka? And he said, because people have to travel too far, because women and men came from six countries. They came from Thailand, Laos, Vietnam, Myanmar, Sri Lanka, Cambodia, the other ones. Anyway, so it was a central location for all these people to come. Pastors conference, it's kind of a networking conference for pastors from all of these countries to come and encourage each other and just to learn how they can better really spread the gospel in their own countries. And there's also a component, because Pastor Aiden is very passionate about anti-trafficking, to help people do the anti-trafficking. Well, women in these countries are very marginalized. There's, even in Christian homes, there's a lot of domestic violence. So he wanted us to come speak on just women's role in the church, to empower women to go serve their nations, and basically for them to see themselves as God sees them. So we had such an exciting experience, basically just watching God work. Here are some of the darling women. And they are, as I said, from six different countries, which was so fun.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you tell where we are?
So
we came to love these women, although we could hardly speak the languages. So we started out. I was the first speaker, and Ophelia, who you know is, I think, Adrian's wife. She and I have been emailing all this time. She was only in about 40 women. They all speak English. When we got there, it was 60 women that did not speak English. So I started talking. I said one line, and they're blah, 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 blah. There's like six languages going. I go, whoa, what are we going to do? And it was like the Tower of Babel. I swear, there were all these languages. Well, their daughter stands up, okay, Thailand, you sit here. Vietnam, you sit here. Myanmar, get a translator. So we had six. You can see they're not looking at us, but they're in groups listening to their translator. So it's, you know, talk about out of your comfort zone. Nobody looked at us. They're just looking at their translator. And you hope they're saying what you're saying. So I spoke on the identity in Christ, which was so fun. And at the end of it, I talked about, because a lot of them, well, so many of them had been through the Khmer Rouge thing, which Terry and I, like, we read a book on the way over, which is a very long time. So we learned about all of that, the killing field. So a lot of them had just been, a lot of them has horrible, horrible lives. So so much violence and so much domestic abuse. So we just talked about who they were, but now who does God say they are? So Terry and I went to Michael's. We bought a bunch of t-shirts and puppy paints, and we had them write their new names on their t-shirts, which was so fun. Some of them were in their own language. Some of them were in English. And the next morning, it was so sweet, before we got to breakfast, Pastor Adrian said, wait till you get to breakfast. And I thought, what's at breakfast? No good food, I know. So I got there, and all 60 women had on their t-shirts, which was so fun. And here's one way. I don't even know if they said it was so cute. So they did that, and here they all are, so proud of their t-shirts. And then I did a talk on emotional healing, just the process of emotional healing and really addressed what some of them had gone through. I talked about stuff I'd gone through, which of course is never as bad as anything they've gone through. And then we had them do a before and after picture of what you were before there was God healed you and what happens afterwards. We thought this was so powerful. On the left, she says, I live under oppression. I live under the Khmer Rouge. I want to commit suicide. So that's this precious story. And those were so many of their stories, you know, especially if they've been part of the, you know, the 4 years under the Khmer Rouge. And so, oh, and then the Vietnamese and the war. I mean, they've all had such trauma. And then here she is, and I love the program, happy life, new in Christ, getting married, live under His grace. And so that was the before and after. And these women were absolutely the most precious women. And I just have to say, for us, it was such a privilege to get to go and honestly just let God do what He was going to do. And Terry and I, I'll tell you, we had a blast. We had so much fun traveling together.
Oh, I'm doing this part. I did a PowerPoint over there. How's that? First PowerPoint in Cambodia.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, I spoke twice too, and my first talk was on the power of a mother's love. And I had shared this with my group even. I had written it here, and then Satan really attacked me and said, you know, you taught this to moms in Newport Beach. How on earth is this going to relate to women in Cambodia and all the other countries? But I had to trust God in it, and He was faithful. And I think they don't affirm their children very much. They don't know how to show them love, and so that's what I was able to share with them. And so afterwards, we had brought the stationery, and so we had them all write a letter of affirmation to one of their children or someone like that. And they just got into it, and it was so cute after. They came up and said, will you take these now? And we said, no, you have to mail them to your children. We have no idea how to mail them. But God was faithful. And then the second one I did was on the power, the healing power of forgiveness. And they have a lot to forgive, and they have a lot. They have to forgive their country and their background and the abuse they've had. And so that is always a powerful talk. But again, you know, I've had to forgive some things, but I have no inkling of what they've had to forgive, and I told them that. But they were just so interested, and at the end, we did the thing that we do here a lot, but Ann and I went and found two boards and made a cross and have them nail their sins of unforgiveness on that cross.
Yes,
But that was just so touching to be in another country after all these people and do the same thing we do here. And on Good Friday, we did that at Grace. And my heart, I was crying almost because I thought they did that there, and I wonder what they're doing on Good Friday in their countries. And some are, two are going back to communist countries, also in Vietnam. And I really thought the Lord has kept them in mind. And every Sunday, when I, especially during the worship time, I think of these dear ladies and think, I wonder what they're doing in their church on Sunday. It's so different than what I get to do. But they love the Lord, and they are preaching the gospel and sharing His word just like we are, or more. They're very passionate. So that was kind of Cambodia. And there's just a group of them. They came up and prayed over us, and that was amazing to have them lay hands and pray for us. They pray for us because they know what we're going home to. And again, I've said this before, but our materialistic society, they know that that's hard to stay focused and centered on Christ too. So we each have our different issues, but the key is to follow the Lord where we are. So then that was our main reason that we went to speak at Cambodia. But then Pastor Adrian let us go to Sri Lanka. Anne's been there a lot, had not. And there were some things he wanted us to do there. And I love the saying, the one who has called us is way more powerful than any of the impediments we're facing. And when we got to Sri Lanka, there's more things I could say, but there, Pastor Adrian has a farm, they call it the farm, and that's where a lot of the ministry takes place. And he has a group of pastors, probably 20, that he's discipling for a year. So he has them come periodically and teaches them. He said to Anne, I want you to teach the pastors. And our talks were not meant for men. And then Ophelia, his wife, said, you should do the power of mother's love one. And I already felt inadequate to teach that to women. I thought, to men. And that's when Anne and I just were looking at each other. And Anne decided to pull out one that she's done here on conflict resolution in marriage. And we just said, okay, Holy Spirit, this is where we really need you. We're kind of prepared for the other. You take
take our words and use them. And our verse that we had in our lesson today, in 2 Corinthians, it says, such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are confident in ourselves, but our confidence comes from God. And that's just what we had to do. We were just laughing almost. So we're up there talking, and I changed it to the power of parents' love, talking to the fathers. But what was so neat is Pastor Adrian would listen to us for a while, and then something would hit. Because I was saying you need focus time with your children, and that's a good time for affirmations. Well, they don't do affirmations hard, so then Pastor Adrian would get up, and he would start talking, and we couldn't understand him. But our talks provided a platform for him, maybe on subjects he wouldn't have done. So God was faithful. And again, you know, with different language barriers, you don't really know what they're hearing. What if they're really getting exactly what we say. But we learned PowerPoints were really powerful in a foreign country because pictures can say a lot. And so we had a great time there. And then we just ended our trip in India. And many of you are familiar with Colleen Reddit's ministry. She's the MCT. She's been here and spoken. Some of you are sponsoring children. And we got to go back or got to. One of our hardest days, we went to a leprosy village, which I had loved to go to, but it was 90 degrees, 50% humidity in it. We didn't have a big program where we kind of could see the Lord's there singing. We just got to walk from hut to hut and see these poor people in these huts, and yet wanting to serve God. And they wanted us to come in and lay our hands on their heads and pray for them. And that's probably one of the most humbling things we do. And then our last day, we went to the slums. Soup kitchen there that Colleen has in different parts of the city, and they feed really the state of the poorest of the poor, these sweet ladies and men, that's their only meal a day. And in this place, there was a sweet gal. She's 32, and she's a little person, and somehow we connected, and she took us to her home just a few blocks away and lives in the, it was cement, but it's in the slums, and you've got this dark, scary way, and it's dark, and it's hot, and it's so humid. Her father sitting by a little window so he could see. He can't walk either. He has two legs, I believe. He was sitting down, and one arm doesn't work. And so in front of him was this padded table, and he has an iron. And he irons with one arm. That's all he can use to provide for his family. And she was so proud of him. So we left, and she wanted to hold my hand. And so this is my dearest pictures. A little person, she's 32, walking through the slums of India, and she looked up at me. Good friends. And we were bonded in Christ, and we just found out, we think, Colleen wrote, I'd never seen it, that she called her a little dwarf, but baptized from the slum. So I'm thinking that's her. So we'll see her in heaven someday. And that is I want that picture up on my counter, just a precious kind of ending to the trip. But that's it.
Esteem, respect, and affection. There is no more beautiful picture of Christian fellowship to be found anywhere than that of Priscilla, Aquila, and the Apostle Paul. Paul's friend Priscilla was a remarkable woman. She was one of the most prominent women in the New Testament. She was actively engaged in promoting the cause of Christ in Corinth, Ephesus, and Rome, three of the most important cities in the Roman Empire. Notice when Priscilla is recognized with her husband, her name always comes first. So whatever that means, if she's more important, or I don't know, but I thought there was so many commentaries that it showed that she was so well respected in her teaching. Priscilla and Aquila are a wonderful example of a marriage, of a couple that labored together for the gospel. They were an exemplary team of a husband and wife doing ministry together. Paul's admiration for her was very evident. He talks about his co-laborers, messengers of the churches for the glory of Christ, who are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the walk of the Lord. Can you imagine having Paul say that about you? And I think, can you imagine being Paul's friend? In all the references to Priscilla, no quality of character is more evident than her wonderful loyalty to her husband, to her friend Paul, to the church, but of course, most of all, to her Lord Jesus Christ. So her husband moved a lot, and you know, if you've moved a lot, if your husband moves a lot and you're not really part of it, you become a part of it, and how hard it can be. She moved a lot graciously. He first moved to Rome, then to Corinth, then next to Ephesus, and then over again to Rome, and then back to Ephesus. So they traveled a lot. Priscilla loyally went with him everywhere. They seemed compatible so much, and that you never hear about one of them not working with the other. Aquila was a Jew from Pontus. This is a land on the shores of the Black Sea. Then he moves to Rome. He appears that he was very wealthy as a tent maker. And there's evidences that he had a large home and used it for their church. But then everything changes when Claudius evicts all the Jews from Rome. And Aquila and Priscilla went to Corinth in search of a home and a living. Now they have to start over financially. Corinth was a renowned trader and packing city. It was one of the most beautiful cities in the world. It also, coming along with all that beauty, it was known as a center for sin. It was known for its love of pleasure. It came to symbolize wealth. It was notorious for its vices. If you were an immoral person, an expression might be used of you, he is a Corinthian. So that's what they were famous for, a place of sin. Then Paul comes to Corinth, and he has to fall back on his tent making. So who does he meet? He meets Aquila, the tent maker. So Paul, Aquila, and his wife Priscilla, with a common bond of trade, race, and interests, soon become fast friends. And over this bond of friendship, I'm sure Paul was talking about what? Jesus and his great salvation. Soon Priscilla and Aquila become believers in Christ. And the three of them, they see Corinth as a great mission field. It was a great mission field. They become a team of evangelists. Paul spent 2 years in Corinth ministering alongside Aquila and Priscilla. Then Aquila and Priscilla go to Ephesus with Paul. And here, the new home, where does it meet? It always meets in Priscilla's home. Priscilla not only entertained, she not only was a very faithful wife, she not only was a great friend to Paul, she was a huge student of God's word. I always think, we don't have time for all that. Priscilla made time for all of that. We know she was a great student of God's word because later on she even teaches Apollo, who was very knowledgeable. So she had the place of teaching God's word. So then after Aquila and Priscilla stayed in Ephesus until Claudius, the emperor, died. He's the one that evicted all the Jews. So now they go back to Rome. So now back in Rome, Priscilla's probably an elderly woman, but rich in tremendous spiritual experiences. She was a big help to the young pastor Timothy. Paul greets all of his fellow laborers in the gospel in Timothy. And you see when he talks about them, Paul's heart and appreciation for his friends and those that help him spread the gospel. Had a beautiful, beautiful friendship, and I love it was at the basis of this friendship, spreading the gospel. That's what the friendship was about. So Priscilla, yes, traveled and lived in many different places, but her loyalty remained the same to her husband, to her friends, and most of all to her Lord Jesus. It seems as if she was energetic to the end to live for the cause of Christ. And we've seen this with so many women we've studied, that they didn't stop early, that they didn't seem to run out of energy. She lived and served in a time of great prejudice and opposition to Christ and the church, and that didn't stop her either. Streams of blessing flowed from the heart and home of Priscilla, wherever she lived. I thought, wouldn't that be a beautiful thing to have said about you? Streams of blessing flowed from her heart and home. So Priscilla is remembered for her loyalty to Aquila and to their friend Paul and to the believers wherever God landed her, no matter the persecution. But the source of all of this is always her relationship to Christ. Her devotion to the person and ministry of Christ is what energized her to live as she did and serve until the end. So she made me really think about some things. I thought, oh my gosh, when we are open to what God brings to us, maybe we'll get a Paul to come hang out at our house. Think of that. So I thought I was asking us, as we get older, what stops us from serving more? What saps my energy? What saps your energy to serve? What kept her going with such energy? Well, it was her relationship with Jesus. And I was asking, could each of us be a better team member with our husband? And do we evangelize and teach in spite of persecution? So I think Priscilla is a fabulous example to us in so many ways. And you see her mentioned all the time. And I think especially, I love her devotion to so many people and just that she was always such a team member with Aquila. Okay, now I'm going to do a review of all the women we've studied. I was thinking about the study, and I was thinking, I don't remember much about Rebecca. Ooh, I think I taught Rebecca. So I thought, if you guys are like me, I so appreciate all God has given us, the teaching, the lessons, but I don't remember it as well as I would like to. So I'm going to do a review of everybody. It's going to be quick, but just to make sure you'll listen. There's a test at the end of this. Just like, but there's prizes to be had if you do well on your test. And even a little cheating will be allowed. So, and don't worry, there's nothing on the test that I won't review. So that means you have to listen to the review. And my prayer and my hope is that you leave today thinking, I know 23 women in the Bible. And hopefully, if you're like me, that could be like 20 more than I knew before. For some of you, it won't be that many. But I thought we've learned so much, and if we can just leave with a couple nuggets of each woman, and not just about the woman, but what God is trying. Sherry said this the very first week. What do we learn about God through these women? And what do we need to learn about ourselves and how we need to respond to God from these women? Some we don't want to emulate, and most we do. Okay. Our first one, obviously Eve. The only woman born without original sin. She didn't trust what God had told her, and she gave in to be like God. She had no sin. She lived in the Garden of Eden with a husband that had no sin. It didn't get much better than that. And yet, she thought she wanted more, and the results were disastrous. My question, do you need to learn contentment in your circumstance? She's a great example. She didn't think she had enough. Sarah. This is where Sarah is listening to the angels of God talk about that she was going to have a baby at 90. Sarah was promised a baby at 90. Why so late? To show that only God can do what is humanly impossible. This is to show us to trust in his power and his grace. Sarah laughed when she heard his promise. Can we believe his promises even when there seems to be no hope? What are you waiting for that only God can pull off? I love that picture of her because she does look old. It seems impossible. Okay, Rebecca, that I didn't remember. Rebecca is an interesting character. Abraham had sent, and those of you that have taught me, I don't like to teach this, but help me with the names Eliezer, to find a wife for his son Isaac. When he met Rebecca and was sure she was the one God had for Isaac, she obeyed completely and immediately. She left her family and went to be married to Isaac. The sad thing is, that as an older woman, she becomes manipulative and deceptive. Obviously, as she helped Jacob trick Isaac into thinking he was Esau. Are we trusting God more as we get older? Are we giving up or taking more control into our own hands? How have you changed? Hopefully, through experiences, we've learned to trust more. And my question is, how are we aging? She got worse. This may be one to not emulate. Potiphar's wife. She was a woman that let her thought life lead to disastrous actions. I love that that's what our lesson focused on, was her thought life. She tried to seduce Joseph. Then she lied about it, and she let Joseph be thrown in prison. Our lesson is to focus on monitoring our thought life. How can we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? This did not start with this action. This thought with her ideas of wanting Joseph and pursuing Joseph. So where do we need to cut off our thought life before it turns into something so disastrous for herself and everybody else? Miriam. Miriam was very jealous of Moses. She dealt with her jealousy poorly. She slandered Moses. Her pride and jealousy took over. The whole lesson was so powerful because I went through the book again and the lesson was so powerful about how God hates slander. Do we tend to gossip or slander others? Ephesians, I love this verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. The result, I mean this when I gossip. She got leprosy. That would cure you. Her problem, unchecked jealousy led to slander. That's the result, unchecked. The next one, Rahab. I spelled it wrong up there. Rahab didn't let her past stop her from serving God. She had a faith that helped her hide the spies and made way for Israel to conquer Jericho. She knew she was forgiven, and she wanted to save her family. Do not let our past, we should not let our past stop us from letting God use us. Okay, Arlene, how do I say it?
Well, I call it Penina, but others call it Penina, so you choose.
Penina. Okay, this girl. She was another very jealous woman. She was so jealous of Hannah. I just love this picture. Look at her. Look. She was so jealous of Hannah because her husband loved Hannah more. She provoked Hannah to irritate her. Hannah did not look at herself as God did. Her insecurities destroyed relationships. We are jealous when we refuse to accept how much God loves us. We take our eyes off of Him and start comparing to others. This is when our jealousy can become deadly and toxic. Hannah, Terry told us about Hannah, was a wonderful woman of prayer. I love Terry's line, desperation can be a gift. Hannah's desperation for a child drove her to the Lord. She made a vow to the Lord and gave Samuel, which is huge, gave Samuel back to him when Samuel was young. Her power came in praying for him. When she couldn't be with him, but she couldn't a lot, all she did was pray for him. And we all need to pray more for our kids. We had a guest speaker for the Queen of Sheba. This lesson pointed to the idea that the wisdom comes from the Lord. The Queen was able to observe the wisdom from her time listening to Solomon. A theme was the idea of praising God and attributing all wealth and success to God. And of course, the speaker included the idea of the Iranian Christian women now that are going to jail because they're Christians. I missed that talk, but she sounded fabulous. Okay, Mayor, how do you say this? Zarephath?
Zarephath.
The widow learned that God will provide enough each day. All she had, oh, that's not a very good picture, sorry. All she had were a few sticks, a little oil, and a tiny bit of faith. But it was enough for her son, and the prophet Elijah, during the 3 years of drought and famine. She learned to trust the provider, not the provision. She got beyond thinking God could to believe he can and he will. Do we trust for him to provide for us on a daily basis? I just think of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. The Shunammite woman, she wasn't focused on herself or her circumstances of being childless, but was so other-oriented. She got beyond herself. She was always looking for ways to serve others. Our whole lesson was on hospitality. Do we complain about our circumstances, or do we look for ways to serve others? The Jewish maid. This young girl was kidnapped from her home and country by Naaman, the Syrian general. And then he gets leprosy. And this young girl, probably about 12 years old, she says, "Oh, I wish that Naaman was with Elisha to heal his leprosy." She wanted healing, both physical and spiritual healing, for the one that had kidnapped her. She obviously had forgiven him. And I thought, can we want and pray for the best for our enemies? I thought she was so young and yet so mature. And he became a believer because of her love and forgiveness for him. And she'd been the one that had been kidnapped. Esther was the one that waited on God. She prayed and fasted for God to intervene to save her people from destruction. She waited and she stepped in. Her example is to hope in God and to wait on his timing for resolving our situations. Esther was a very courageous woman. Do you need to wait more patiently for God to do his work? And there's a great movie. Do you guys ever want to download? The whole story of Esther is called A Night with the King. And if you just have a night with nothing to do, it's a wonderful movie about the whole story of Esther. Okay, this is somebody that's not a good example. Job's wife. When her husband lost everything and needed his wife to be an encourager, she turns against him. What is her famous line? Curse God and die. Terry talked about a basement person. She was a basement person when he needed a balcony. Can you be more encouraging? Can I be more encouraging to our husbands during the tough times? I think that is so classic. Look at his face. Mary. Mary was willing to risk her reputation to accept God's plan for her, as crazy as it sounded. She exhibited a humble obedience. I love her line. May it be as you have said. If God asks us to do something, wonderful, may it be as you have said. Are we willing to look foolish for our faith? Then her friend, Elizabeth. Elizabeth was a faithful wife, an influential woman in her home and community. She was another that God blessed with a miraculous birth after her childbearing years. And of course, her son was John the Baptist. She's the one that Mary races to with the news of her pregnancy. And what we loved about this, Mary obviously can celebrate, Elizabeth can celebrate Mary's happiness, even though she's also herself pregnant. Anna, a poor widow that served in the temple for 60 years. No matter how old or poor she was, she continued to serve waiting for her Messiah. Her example was that a life serving God is a life well spent. Lesson was to continue to grow internally, even though we get older, and externally we age, that we have the treasure, which is Jesus, in these jars of clay. The widow that gave all. God gave us a wonderful example of sacrificial giving, which included a personal sacrifice. We are taught to always give generously, willingly, and cheerfully to the church, and to ministries that pursue God's missions of mercy and evangelism. I love it. She gave all, but she gave all cheerfully. Linda Patton did a great talk on Martha. She taught us that what we need to do is to realize that life in Christ should not be a flurry of activities. He wants to call us out of a life of strife and more into rest with him And my question is, how can each one of us sit at the feet of Jesus more? Mary of Bethany. Mary did not care if others thought she was foolish or wasteful. She did not hold back in her giving regardless of what others thought. I love what Jesus said about her. She did what she could. Do we do all that we can? The Samaritan woman at the well. We can all learn from her, like Rahab, not to hide our sin from God. He knows everything we've ever done. And even though he still loves us, and he gives us his living water, the Holy Spirit, this lonely woman accepts his forgiveness and his love. And as soon as she does, she now wants to share with others what has happened to her. Do we let our sins make us hide from God and his love? As soon as she encountered Jesus, and he did acknowledge, I think Terry has a great line, she was fully known and fully loved. And I love that about her. And she felt his love, accepted his love, and then she went and shared it with everybody else instead of saying, oh, I'm not good enough to share. Dorcas. We learn from Dorcas the significance of simple acts of kindness. These acts made her significant to God. She did small tasks for others. How can we show more acts of kindness to family members, friends, even strangers? Every small act of kindness is important to God. It shows his love. Lydia was known for her meekness. She was sensitive to God, and she made herself available to him. She lived out the Great Commission, sharing her faith and opening her home. And you know about Priscilla. Okay, and this is everybody that we have studied. Can I get the teachers to help me pass out this test? So here's your test. You cannot leave until it's done. We'll correct them all together. And I want to say, if you have test anxiety and you need to cheat on somebody next to you, then move to a smart person. And then we will correct. All of a sudden, you get depressed. And then we will correct them all together. And I don't even care if you talk with each other over it. What you're doing, you can cry. You can cry. Look at her nose.
Thank you. Did you guys get them?
Yes, ma'am.
I was really worried for you. Y'all got some.
Oh, CJ's
here.
Oh, well, not, wait, Terry's got some. No, she's got some more. Wait, we need
a
more.
Yeah.
Not if you guys want. Yeah. Thank you. That's why there are many questions.
Does anybody not have one?
Anybody need a pen?
We're doing a dress rehearsal for next week at 11:45 today. Is there any way you could stay after just to sort of remind yourself of the sound? Yeah. If you can, it's okay.
Okay.
If you can, it would be great. I meant to mention it. Just to orient yourself. I'm going to get Dave and Brian to help me with sound setup ahead of time. But just so you kind of remember where everything is and the board, and we'll have somebody else doing lighting.
Okay. And maybe I'll look at it tonight with whoever's running it.
Yeah, oh, perfect. That's right.
Yeah.
said to the attendant, the prize contains chocolate, if that motivates you all. Five more minutes. Oh, you can have as long as you want. I want you all to feel successful. Okay, take care. Oh, were there some on the test? Oh, no, I didn't do all of those. So.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, let's start correcting these together.
Do you need more time?
No.
You're such a tough teacher. Hurry up.
I You can ask your neighbors. This is such an honest group. You can tell we never cheated in school. Number two, I wasn't a very supportive wife when my husband lost everything. Number three, I was so jealous of my husband's first wife, I teased her about her barrenness. Say that again?
Media.
I was a widow, and for 60 years I served in the temple waiting for the Messiah.
Anna.
I needed to learn that to live in Christ does not mean a flurry of activities. In my pride. In my pride, I challenged the leadership of Moses. Okay, and number seven, I don't think I use this term in this, but I'm sure you know who she is, but that's not quite fair. I learned to wait on the Lord for such a time as this.
Yes.
I had the perfect life, and I ruined everything. I needed to learn contentment.
Yes.
She's the reason we have the same child. I forgave my kidnapper and told him how God could heal his leprosy. This led to his salvation. I was so happy with Mary when she told me she was pregnant. Who is my son? I knew my wisdom and wealth came from God. You're smart. I mean, I know there's more about this person, but I thought this was really cool. I got to hang out with Paul. Jesus knew my sin and offered me his living water. I couldn't wait to tell everyone about him. I hid the spies so Israel could conquer Jericho. I was a sinner and said, I will sin no more. My simple acts of kindness, such as sowing, were significant in the eyes of God. All I could offer was a few sticks, some oil, and a little faith. God provided just enough each day. 17. You can fill in as we go. In spite of a ruined reputation, my answer to Gabriel was, may it be to me as you have said. And the last one, I started out obedient when my marriage was arranged, but became very manipulative later on with my sons and husbands. Okay, if you got 100%, you get a prize. So raise your hand if you got 100%. Everybody should have gotten 100%.
So Arlene, I'm so proud. Judy,
oh my gosh,
Leslie, more
100%ers.
Oh, yeah. 100%ers. Okay, anybody else? You guys, good job. The question for the small groups is, from what all you've learned, who do you want to be more like? Jesus. That's true. I'm the winner. I can't finish my
Really?
Okay, you can go to your...
No, Donna, sorry.
I missed one.